Well, we're studying through the book of Galatians. And this morning we find ourselves in Galatians chapter 1, verses 13 through 24. We'll wrap up Galatians chapter 1 this morning. As you're turning to Galatians chapter 1, looking for verse 13, I think about a 75-year-old woman who, well, she had a nice relationship with the Lord, and as the Bible said that some of us would have visions, she thought that she had a vision one night, and she saw and spoke to the Lord. She asked him one of the most important questions that we can think: how long do I have to live? Well, he said, you've got about 35 more years. She's 75, she's got 35 more years. She's stoked. She figures, hey, I'm going to live it up in these last 35 years, and she wanted to look young again. She decided to spend the next year of her life getting a major makeover. She had a facelift, a tummy tuck. She had her nose reshaped and liposuction. She completely did herself over. Well, after all this was done, that same year she was hit by a car and ended up dying. Well, as soon as she got to heaven, she stood before God and she said, hey, what happened? You said 35 years. And he said, hey, cut me some slack. I didn't recognize you. America has a fascination with looking better and the makeovers. Well, there's some shows out there. Maybe some of us have seen it. The Couch Potatoes, who, you know, maybe we're homesick one day and start flipping through the channels, and there's all these makeover shows. And there's one that's my favorite, Ambush Makeover. And basically, they just grab someone on the street and say, hey, you need a makeover. Now, how would you feel? You're thinking, hey, I'm looking pretty good, you know, and you're just cruising down the street and going to your job or going somewhere, and all of a sudden, William Watley from Ambush Makeover jumps out and says, you desperately need a makeover. Look at that hair and these clothes. Oh. Well, this is exactly what happened to Paul on the road to Damascus. Not fashionably speaking, but spiritually speaking. Paul, who was known as Saul at that point in time, he thought he was spiritually on top of his game. He was coming up trained by Gamaliel, zealous for good works, a persecutor of this cult called the Way. And he was on his way to Damascus to imprison and kill Christians. Jesus snuck up on him and said, Paul, you desperately need a spiritual makeover. Well, that's the text that we're reading this morning. And as Paul at that point in time in his life needed a spiritual makeover, there's people that we know, people that we love, possibly even people right here this morning, that desperately need a spiritual makeover. Well, look at the text. We're looking at Paul's pre-makeover right now. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 13, it says, for you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly jealous or zealous for the traditions of my father. What we're looking at here is what we call the before shot. Now, if you go to the Ambush Makeover website, you'll find one section of the before and after photos. And the before shot is the person prior to or pre-makeover. The before shots are typically this: hair's all messed up, clothes aren't up to date, and it's kind of, you know, just a person kind of looking really bad. Every single one of them, they're just like, okay, I'm here. Afterwards, they're all just like, you know, the hair's all fixed and makeup's all done. And so we're talking about the pre-shot right now. We're talking about the pre-makeover photograph. And that's what we're looking at in verses 13 and 14. Spiritually speaking, Paul's pre-makeover. Well, in these verses, we talk about, Paul writes about his former conduct and his former religion. His former conduct, he says that he is persecuting the church beyond measure. So whatever you could measure, he's going beyond that. And he was trying to destroy it. According to Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, you don't have to turn there, but Acts 22 verses 4 and 5 say this, about Paul, quoting Paul, Luke writes, I persecuted this way to death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. As also the high priest bears me witness, and all the council of the elders, for from whom I also received letters to the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring in chains even those who were there to Jerusalem to be punished. He's on his way to Damascus. His purpose, he has letters from the high priest to bind and bring back to Jerusalem these Christians to be persecuted. This was his former conduct. This is his before shot. Now, there's reasons why he's doing this. He's not just going out and killing people and imprisoning people just for no reason. This former conduct is based on his former religious belief system. In Acts 22:3, he says this, "I am indeed a Jew born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in the city at the feet of Gamaliel, taught according to the strictness of our father's law, and was zealous toward God, as you all are today." And so his point here is that, hey, you know what? I'm doing this because this is what I believe. This is what I believe God would have me to do. See, you see, no one was as religious as Paul. And as religious as we might have been in a past life, or in our past life as far as prior to Christ, no one was religious as Paul. Philippians 3:4 starts off and says this, "Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so, circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless." He's saying, hey, my before shot, I thought looked really good. I was accomplishing the law. I was of the right tribe. I was of the right family. I was being raised up under the hottest rabbi in town. I mean, you go to, you know, hit parade rabbi back in these times. You open up and the cover shot is of Gamaliel. Paul was on top of his game. He was more zealous than anyone else. He was more religious than anyone else. And yet, he wasn't looking that good in the eyes of Jesus. And Jesus said, this person, though he's zealous for me, needs to understand a little bit more about the Old Testament, which he thinks he knows so well. And that's the thing I love about cult members that are very zealous for the cults. We tend to, you know, Mormon knocks on the door, Jehovah's Witness knocks on the door, whatever, and we slam the door in their face, and we don't have time for them. And man, I wish to God that more Christians would be like Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses in the sense that they go out and they actually live their faith. They put in door time. They're going to go out and talk with people about what they believe. I respect that. And my thoughts about that is, hey, man, these people are zealous for what they think is God. If I just spend a little time and share the true God with them, they might take that zeal and turn it over to God and become a very zealous Christian. This is exactly what was happening to Paul. We'll get into the makeover here in a moment. But continuing to consider the pre-makeover, some of us can relate with Paul on two different levels. You see, Paul was a persecutor, or we could look at that as Paul was a bad dude. I mean, he was killing people. Some of us are ashamed of our before shot. How many of us, when we go through pictures of ourselves, are looking at all these shots that what we used to look like, and we're just embarrassed? And who here has destroyed pictures of themselves because they're just like, oh my gosh, how could I have done that? How could I in the 80s have that hair that did like this, you know? What was I thinking? Well, maybe your before shot, maybe when you look at your before shot, you were into witchcraft. Maybe when you look at your before shot, you were a prostitute. Maybe when you look at your before shot, you were a porn addict or a drug addict. Or maybe when you look at your before shot, you're so ashamed at the things that you did prior to Christ. I am. I won't get into my testimony right now, but I was a horrible person prior to Christ. And a lot of times what comes along with that kind of shame and that kind of guilt is, well, God could never use me. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm forgiven. But because of what I did, God could never use me. But yet, if we take Paul as an example of who God might use in incredible ways, Paul was killing Christians. How many of us here were killing Christians prior to Christ? Just a few? Okay. None of us were as bad as Paul. Paul was actually going out to destroy Christianity. Any of us on that same level with Paul? No? And yet Paul turns around and writes more of the New Testament than any other author. And when we go to read the Word of God in the New Testament, chances are we're going to pull up one of Paul's books just because there's so many. And so the very person that God used and chose to use and called to use in this way was a persecutor of the church, wanted to destroy the church, was persecuting the church beyond measure. Hey, whatever you did pales in comparison. Whatever I did pales in comparison. God wants to use you. And so let your before shot remain your before shot. That's what I was. Maybe your before shot, you were a very religious person. Like Paul, I doubt you were as religious as Paul. Paul was as religious as it gets, though it was a dead religion. And as you look back at your before shot, are you discouraged? Some members of cults, well, they're bummed out because they spent so much time worshiping a false god. Maybe in your before shot, you were sold out for dead works. Maybe in your before shot, you were giving all your money to this cult and supporting the cult. My question to you is, are you zealous now for God as you were back then for the cult? Are you serving God now like you were back then? You look at Paul. Paul took the zeal that he had for Judaism and he turned it around and used that same amount of zeal for the God of the Bible. And I respect that. I remember that I used to play live music and work in clubs and I'd be up all night long. And I know other Christians that would do the same thing. And I would want to go out to 6th Street and go evangelize or go down to the Drag and go evangelize. And I've talked to some of these people that came out of the same background. Well, no, I got to go to bed. I mean, you used to stay up till 4 in the morning for Satan, but now you got to go to bed at 9 for Jesus? What's going on? I used to pass out flyers when I'd play gigs. You know, we'd pass out, you know, flyers to tell people how we're playing and stuff. I turned that around and started designing tracks that had information about Jesus, and I'd go pass out tracks for Jesus. I used to draw for the Chronicle, and I had my own magazine. I'd use my art to promote a lot of the garbage that I was doing. Well, now I want to take that art, and I've been using that art for Jesus and promoting what God is doing through this church and others. Are you taking that religious zeal and using it even more for God than you were for your past life? That's a challenge for all of us. As we look at our before shot, would it be to God that we would take all that energy that we put into the things that we did back then and apply it to what God wants to do now? Well, it goes from the pre-makeover to the ambush makeover. Jesus snuck up and said, "Hey, Paul, it's time." And in Galatians chapter 1, verse 15, it says, "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus." Now, when you go to the Ambush Makeover website, what you're going to find there is a list of their style agents. I like that, style agents. 007, style agent. Agent of style. These guys are understanding of modern fashion and makeover and hairstyles. You have Anthony, Mary Alice, Nancy, and Gigi all working on fashion. You have Nicole on makeup. William is the hairstylist. And together, this team of fashion consultants come and they take someone that looks drab and dull and make them into a beautiful person that they wanted to be. They used the tools of the trade, makeup, scissors, new clothes. And they whisk you away to start this makeover process. And typically, the person's real excited and just like, all right, Paul's makeover team consists of mainly three in one. God. You had God the Father who called Paul in Galatians 1:15, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace. And God called Paul or invited Paul to this makeover. Jesus directed him. And we see in Acts chapter 9, verses 3 through 6, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell on the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" Then the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads." So he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Then the Lord said to him, "Arise and go into the city," that's Damascus, "and you will be told what you must do." And so Jesus here directs him to just go ahead and go into Damascus, and I'll tell you later what to do. And then we see him being sent to Ananias, one of the disciples at the time, and then later on we'll read a little bit more about that. But Jesus directs him as to what to do. The Father calls him, and the Holy Spirit empowers him. We see that in Acts 9:17. It says, "And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit.'" And this is what happens in the life of each one of us. The Father calls us, Jesus directs us, and the Holy Spirit empowers us into this holy makeover. Well, God sent Paul to Damascus to get his eyes redone. He needed an eye job, and he also needed a theology lift. And in Acts 9:8 and 9:12, it says this, "Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no one, but they led him by hand and brought him into Damascus." And so there was these scales, basically, that built up on his eyes, and he couldn't see and was led by hand into Damascus. And then in verse 12 it says, "And in a vision he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hands on him so that he might receive his sight." And what happened physically here also took place spiritually. Paul was a blind man, like we all were prior to the ambush makeover from God. Paul was a blind man. He couldn't see what he was doing wrong. He thought he was doing right. He thought he was walking down the street looking really good. And then God comes along and says, "No, you look bad. I want to give you a makeover. I'm going to show you that you're blind, and then I'm going to show you how you can see again." And the Holy Spirit filled him and empowered him to go and do the ministry that God was calling him to do at this point. And the tool that God used for this makeover didn't need scissors or makeup or new clothes. The tool that God used is grace. Look at Galatians 1:15 again. "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace." You see, again, I'll say it again. Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. This makeover was done at God's expense. Just like an ambush makeover, when they come along and give you a makeover, you don't have to pay for the clothes. You don't have to pay for the hairstylist. You don't have to pay for the new makeup. The show takes care of everything. You get all this stuff for free, and you get to walk away with the new clothes. That's pretty cool. How much more cool is it then that God comes along and changes your life from the inside out, renews you, gives you a born-again spirit, all at his cost, all at his payment plan, the payment plan of the cross. As Jesus hung upon the cross and died, he was paying for our sins. He paid for our sins so that we could have this makeover. Well, any good ambush makeover team has a goal in mind. They see this natural beauty in this person that the person has chosen to cover up in some way. And they want to take this person and bring out that natural beauty. Well, with God's ambush makeover, the beauty that God wants to show through us and bring out in us is Jesus Christ. God looks at us and says, "I made these people in my image, but right now they're not bringing out the beauty of Christ." And so God comes along and wants to reveal Christ in us to the rest of the world. Galatians 1:15 says, "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his Son in me." Do you realize, Christian, that as you leave this place today, God wants to use you to reveal Christ to the world around you? As we interact with the people outside of Calvary South Austin, and even the people inside of Calvary South Austin, God wants to use you to reveal Jesus Christ. Does that blow your mind or what? God wants to use sinful, fallen me to reveal perfect God? I don't get that. How can that be? Only by grace. Only by receiving the free gift of grace from God and receiving it daily. Receiving that empowering of the Holy Spirit every day so that God can reveal himself to others through us. Well, we've been kind of contrasting the temporal makeover with the eternal makeover. You see, the ambush makeover team, they can give you a temporal makeover. Some of us know, probably more women than men, but some men might go to a hairstylist also. But you know, you walk out of the hairstylist and they've fixed your hair perfectly. And you know all the way home, the minute you wash it, it's never going back to that. You know what I'm talking about? Some of you guys are nodding. And they can get you that right outfit and show you exactly what to do, but you know next time you go shopping, you're not going to be able to pick out what they did, much less afford it. You see, they can help you change your appearance for that show, for that day. But unless you really go out and get yourself a stylist and understand what it takes to look that way every day, you're just going to go back to who you were before, maybe a little bit better. The ambush makeover team cannot make you right with God, though. They cannot give you everlasting peace. They cannot change you from the inside out. If we look at the most beautiful people in the world, we look to the television, we look to the models, we look to the movie stars, those are some of the most miserable people that I've ever seen. Not all of them. There are actors and actresses and models out there that have relationships with God, and I'm not trying to categorize them all together. But when you look at the lifestyles of those people who have really, really made it, and they're all about themselves, and they're all about their beauty and their thing, and what we typically find in the reports about them and in what they say, they're miserable. Because beauty and the right clothes and the right look, this cannot bring everlasting peace, and it cannot bring a right standing with God. The eternal makeover is always available, though, and it's affordable. It's free. God is calling people to himself, and he wants to make us over. Jesus is ready to direct us to the cross, and the Holy Spirit is ready to empower us to live as a new creation every day of our lives. The choice is yours. You see, on Ambush Makeover, I love it because they come running up to a person and they say, "We'd like to make you over. We'd like to cut this and do that." And you kind of know how it's about to go. You've got the person that says, "Oh, I don't know. I don't want to do that. Forget that. I like what I've got going on." And they might spend a second trying to talk the person into it, but typically the person's going to walk away and say, "No, thanks. I don't want your free clothes. I don't want your free haircut. I don't want your..." But then there's the people that say, "Yeah, I'll take that. I'll receive that." You see, there's the invitation, but they can't make you go get your hair cut. They can't make you put on those new clothes or the makeup or whatever else they do. You have to accept it. And that's the same with God and the makeover that he wants to do in our lives. It's something that you have to accept. He's not going to force it on us. Well, for everyone on the Ambush Makeover show that says yes, afterwards they want to arrange a way to show off to the friends and family this new look. And people are amazed at the change that happens in this person's life. Well, God wants to also show us off. But not so much show us off, but show off Christ through us to our friends and families. And God wants to change our lives and wants to blow the minds of the people around us for the way he's changed our life. That's what happens post-makeover. As we get into post-makeover, there's always that at the end of the show where, well, we're going to, you know, invite all your friends and family or your spouse or your fiancé, and we're going to get them all out into this restaurant, and we're going to usher you in and go, da-da-da-da, you know, here she is or here he is. Look how amazing this person looks. In Paul's post-makeover, we read about it in Galatians 1:18. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and remained with him 15 days, but I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. Now concerning the things which I write to you, indeed before God I do not lie. Afterward, I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was unknown by face to the churches of Judea which were in Christ. But they were hearing only, he who formerly persecutes us now preaches the faith which he once tried to destroy, and they glorified God in me. Talking about Paul's post-makeover. Who saw Paul after his conversion? In Galatians here, we see that he mentions Peter and James. We get more information about this in Luke's account in the book of Acts, chapter 9, verses 26 through 28. And when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him. I wonder why. They did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles Peter and James, and he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. So he was with them at Jerusalem, coming in and going out. So he comes back to Jerusalem after spending some time in Arabia, spending some time in Cilicia. He comes back to Jerusalem. And he tried to get plugged up with the disciples, but they're just like, hey, this is the guy that was killing us. Don't open the door for this guy. Not a good idea. Well, Barnabas, he took a liking to Paul and saw that Paul's life had changed and wanted to bring him in and show Peter and James. So he hung out with Peter and James for 15 days. What they heard. If you look again at verses 23 and 24, it says, but they were hearing only, he who formerly persecuted us now preaches the faith which he once tried to destroy, and they glorified God in me. What were they hearing? And when you understand that Paul actually came from Cilicia and immediately was sent to Syria and Cilicia after he hung out with the apostles, imagine the surprise of the people that knew him best. This is Saul. And you want me to call you what? Paul? And you're doing what? Preaching Jesus Christ? The cult that you were trying to destroy? Those in the church didn't even know him by face. Didn't even recognize him anymore. Well, they heard the good news about Paul. And they were glorifying God because of this major change in his life. Paul, who was one of the greatest up-and-coming rabbis, is now a Christian. Paul, who was persecuting the church, well, he's now on our side. Paul, who was zealous for religion, is now zealous for God. Paul had received an ambush makeover. And people were amazed at what was going on in his life. Well, what happens to us after we receive that ambush makeover from God? What about us when it's talking about the post-makeover? We talked about the before shot. We talked about what happens during Christ coming into our life, God calling us, the Holy Spirit empowering us. What do we do with it now? When the ambush makeover people bring the makeover target in to see the friends and the family, there's always an excitement about the change that just happened. There's a buzz about the difference in this person who was just made over. They're excited about how this person's life is going to get so much better because they've got this new look and the new haircut and the new clothes and it's just temporal. We receive an eternal change. Are people excited about what's going on in our lives? When you look at the believers around you, are they excited by the way God is using you? Are they excited about what God is doing in your life? Do other Christians glorify God because they see your walk? They ought to. We ought to just be looking at each other going, oh, I can't believe God is doing that in you. And oh, check out what's going on over here. And this person, and I can't believe God is doing that through you. And we ought to just be glorifying God at what he's doing in each of our lives. We ought to come in here each week with these incredible stories about how God is using us, how God empowered us with the Holy Spirit to evangelize this person or pray with that person. Is that what's going on in the church today? It ought to be. If not, what does that say about our walk? If the Christians around you are not glorifying God because of your walk, what does that say about your walk? And I would pray that we would spend the next week examining ourselves and saying, what are other Christians saying about me? Not that we have to live for the people around us, but there ought to be a buzz about what's going on in your life by the power of God. It's nothing that we have to work up either. It's just something that we walk in as we walk in obedience to what God is calling us to do. Well, what about the unbelievers? Do your unbelieving friends even recognize you anymore? Do they see the difference that God has made in your life? Is there a buzz about your beliefs? Do your friends think you've flipped out? They ought to. Your friends ought to look at you and just go, what is going on? Because this is not you. I know you, and you're a totally different person. Have you ever heard this one? You know, just don't get carried away with that whole Christian thing. You know, that's great church and all, but just don't get caught up in it. You know, don't get weird. My friends would make fun of me when I first got saved because I would share my faith with them. I would share what God was doing in my life. And it was obvious, too. The joint would pass around. I wouldn't smoke it. The beer would pass around. I wouldn't drink it. It was a slow, gradual change, but I started saying no to these things eventually. And I'm teaching about Jesus, and I'm telling them about what I'm learning, and wow, they were tripping out. Then I realized they were starting to make fun of me. Mainly behind my back. Not too many people make fun of me to my face. I don't know why. But they would make fun. I would hear about them making fun of me, you know, behind my back. And so I'd tell them. I'd say, now when you make fun of me about what I'm telling you, listen to what I'm saying so you can get it right. You know, because I knew when they're making fun of me that someone's going to get saved. Because they're preaching what I'm preaching. And sure enough, friend comes up to me, hadn't seen me in a while. He was a little kid when I knew him, and you know, some years had gone by, and he comes up and he goes, hey man, I heard you became a Christian, and what's going on with all that? And so I sat down with him, there was this group of kids with him, and I basically preached to every single one of them and shared my faith with them and shared my love for the Lord with them. And two kids showed up the next day where I was working, John Newberry and I don't recall the other guy's name. And I began to share more of my beliefs and reasons for trusting in Christ. And then they both came to church one day. And Mike McIntosh was preaching at Calvary Austin up north. And Mike McIntosh led a prayer of repentance. And John Newberry received Jesus Christ that morning. I bought him a Bible and began to disciple him and all of that. And now he's a pastor up in Calvary Chapel of the Sticks. He doesn't call it that, but I do. Pastor of Calvary in Killeen. And he's leading people to the Lord there, and he's building an awesome church there. And it's awesome to see what God is doing in his life. God sent him out to be a pastor before he sent me out. Praise the Lord. And it was all because my friends were making fun of me. My friends were picking on me behind my back about me being a Christian. I couldn't care less. I was happy that they were picking on me. I was glad that they were talking about my faith because there's a buzz about what's going on in my life, and they knew what was going on. And John Newberry listened and became a Christian as a result. What are your unbelieving friends saying about you? Because if there is no buzz about you, what does that say about your walk? If they see no difference in you, what does that say about your walk? Well, we desperately need to have a walk that creates a buzz about Jesus, where our saved friends are totally stoked about what God's doing in your life, where our lost friends are tripping out at what God's doing in your life. We need to have that first love that we had when we first got saved. Amen? We need to pray that we would make prayer a priority in our week. That every day we would communicate with God through prayer. That we would see Bible study as a daily meal. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so every day we eat, unless you're trying to get down to some waif size that they advertise on TV. Eat. You know, eat some food. That's great. But study the Bible. That's even better. We need church connectedness as a priority. Prayer is a priority. Bible study is a priority. Devotional time. Church connectedness is a priority. And the sad thing is that we don't treat church as a priority. We don't treat the Bible study as a priority. We don't treat prayer as a priority. And we certainly don't treat evangelistic intensity as a priority. What have we been saved to then? What's the point of being a Christian if we don't prioritize prayer, Bible study, being a part of a church, and evangelism? What's the point? Just go ahead and take me to heaven now. Because my life down here, well, it's just about going to work and going home and not rocking the boat. And God, help us. Save us from the secularizing of Christianity. In conclusion, as believers, many of us have experienced the kind of ambush makeover that I've talked about today. I did. Others of us Christians, it was a slow, gradual process, and God slowly worked us, and we finally came to that place where it wasn't as drastic as what I'm trying to say. Whether you had a slow, gradual coming to understand the Lord, or whether it was a drastic ambush makeover, either way, our lives ought to have been changed forever. On the show Ambush Makeover, what if the person that had just been made over, before they're taken off to be shown off to the family and the friends, they say, yeah, this is great. Let me go do something real quick before we go see my family and friends. And they go back into the changing room, and they put on the clothes they came in with, and they mess their hair back up, and they wipe the makeup off, and they go, okay, I'm ready to go see my friends and family now. Isn't that what we do spiritually all the time? God comes along and changes our life and makes us more like Him and wants to reveal His Son through us. And before we go out those doors into the world to reveal Christ to the world, we say, hold on a second, let me walk in the flesh out there. So we come in here and we want to have the makeover and have all the bright, shiny Christian faces around the other Christians. And then we go out there and we just decide to walk in the flesh, walk in the same old things we had on before we knew Christ. I would suggest that we need to be walking in the Spirit continuously so that we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And when it comes time to the trial at work or at home, wherever, and the world wants to make you say, oh, no, you got the wrong clothes on. You need to take that Jesus stuff off and put the secular stuff back on. We need to be strong enough Christians to say, no, that's not what I need to do. I need to let Christ shine through me. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Hide it under a bushel? Oh no. I'm going to let it shine. If you have received God's ambush makeover, let your light shine. Let Christ reveal Himself through you today. If you haven't received that ambush makeover, I'd like to give you that opportunity this morning. Let's pray. Lord, Thank you so much for Paul's example. And we know now, Lord, that if you can use Paul, you can use us. Help us, Lord, to be used by you. And there's some of us here this morning, they don't know you yet. They have not been made over. But you've spoken to their hearts this morning, and you've revealed yourself to them through your word. And now is the decision time. At this point, they will decide whether they will accept you or continue to reject you. And as I turn my attention to those of us out there, you've been sitting here listening to this sermon. You've been hearing God's word. And the Holy Spirit has come alongside of you and put a finger on your heart and pointed out to you that you need to be made over. And maybe you've been ambushed this morning, and it's time to allow God to take you off and change your life. Will you let him do that this morning? He's not going to make you. I'm not going to talk you into it. But if you'd like Jesus Christ to save you of your sins, then that's something that you can receive right now. If you'd like Jesus Christ to come and make you a new person, make you a child of God, I'd like to pray with you. If you'd like to say a prayer with me, slip your hand up and you can put it down. I'll acknowledge it, and then we'll pray together here in a little while. You want to know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? Acknowledge it by slipping your hand up. Jesus wants to make you a new person. And the thing about us is we know that we need to be new people. We know before Christ that our life is messed up and it's empty. Jesus wants to come and fix that. But you have to let him. If you want to allow Jesus to change your life this morning and open your heart, slip your hand up and you can put it down. We'll pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you for bringing these here this morning. Continue to change our lives. We've been made over, Lord, but we continue to mess ourselves up. Help us to break those habits of getting back into the flesh, getting back into our old clothes. Help us to continue to walk in that newness of life. In Jesus' name.